Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Today's Issues is the name of this show, and we will be here till 11:30 Central Time on American Family Radio. Live, we come to you from our studios in Tupelo, Mississippi, broadcasting across the country on to 181 radio stations and tens of thousands of people who listen on our AFR app. Fred Jackson joins me. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be here again.
Pulling double duty.
Yeah, I had to fill in for Sandy this morning. Had lots of fun. We had Dr. Robert Jeffers on with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, always good.
And Chris Woodward is with us. Good morning, Brother Chris.
Good morning. I'm a little less amped today. I didn't have the same kind of coffee, but okay. I am ready to go.
Well, you need some level of ampness here on radio. You don't want to be, you know, all NPR all the time.
Yeah. Huh? Hello. You're listening to NPR.
You're listening to NPR.
This is brought to you by many foundations, all of which are nonprofits.
And the taxpayers of America. Mm-hmm.
So we continue now with more far-left news on NPR.
Mm.
All right, so what did Dr. Jeffress have to say this morning, by the way?
Dr. Jeffress was basically, we opened up by talking, why do people hate Donald Trump? And he said, you know, really, it's all part of spiritual warfare that's going on in this country right now, the Great Divide.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the claims that the left is making about President Trump, like the ridiculous claims that are coming out now that he is responsible for all the racial tension in the country.
Yeah.
He's responsible for the
violence.
Well,
Biden and company are trying to put that one out there, but it's, as they say, it's not sticking.
It ain't. It really isn't. No.
So, to borrow expression from the former vice president, come on, man.
That's right. That's right.
Don't try to change the story you've been ignoring for months, and now you say, oh, this is all Donald Trump's fault.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a lot of stories to discuss today with you. If you would like to join us on the internet, it's Facebook or YouTube. You just type in Today's Issues, and we live video stream the show there, Facebook and YouTube. We also post the stories that we discuss on our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page. And so if you hear something we're talking about and you want to read it for yourself, pass it along to friends, more than likely we've got it posted on our Facebook page. All right, Chris, yes, by the way, Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at the bottom of the hour. So make sure you join us. Stay with us, and Abe will come on at the bottom of the hour, and we will discuss some topics with him. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, well, we begin with a rather hair-raising situation involving the House Speaker. She's getting heat today over a solo hair salon visit in San Francisco at a time when California businesses are limited by concern over coronavirus. A video obtained by Fox News, and has a lot of people talking today, shows the House Speaker, her mask around her neck rather than on her face, walking through the salon. A stylist follows her wearing her mask. Now, how did she get in here was a question some people have asked already this morning. Apparently, the salon owner rents chairs to stylists, and one of them let her know in advance that Pelosi wanted a wash and a blow dry. Nonetheless, people are saying she's a giant hypocrite because it wasn't that long ago. Speaker Pelosi was really chastising Republicans and Trump supporters for not wearing masks as much as possible and things of that sort. And as you might expect, Fox and Friends continue talking about it today, so much so that author and Fox News contributor Rachel Campos Duffy had this to say on Fox and Friends. Clip one.
It's terrible. Nancy Pelosi is a hypocrite, but mostly I think Americans just really hate this kind of elitism. You know, I had to wear a ponytail. I had to cut my kids' hair, you know, by myself in my kitchen and made a mess of my poor little four-year-old's hair. Why does Nancy Pelosi get to do this? And it's not just, you know, the haircuts and the salons and the business owners who have lost their, you know, their dreams. Many of them have shut down because they can't afford it anymore. But we're talking talking about people who couldn't bury their grandmothers, but if you were a member of Congress, you could have a funeral for your family member. We're talking about people who are, you know, going to restaurants when they're telling people that they can't go to restaurants. It's across the board hypocrisy.
Now, California attorney and Trump supporter Harmeet Dillon has also referred to the House Speaker as a hypocrite. She told KTVU, "I've represented other types of businesses that have been severely punished for violating the very same law that Nancy Pelosi broke yesterday." Now, Pelosi's campaign, or office rather, has confirmed that the speaker did indeed get her haircut indoors in a San Francisco salon. But guys, get this. The office says they don't think, or Pelosi doesn't think, she did anything wrong. She wasn't aware of any kind of rule breaking or whatnot. Do you buy that?
Well, I would just say something here at the outset. Don't mess with ladies in the beauty shop appointments, okay? I don't care what party you're a member of. this looks terrible for Nancy Pelosi in particular. If you haven't seen the picture of the video, it's just very brief, but
yeah.
Evidently, well, obviously, she went home to San Francisco from Washington, D.C. and decided she needed a hairdo, right? And I don't know what else. And so she went to a hair salon that has been closed because of the coronavirus restrictions.
They've been shut down. Salons in San Francisco have been shut down since March.
Yeah.
Right. So now what happened here was, and I know people might say, well, this is much ado about nothing. But there is some substance. It is funny, but it is hypocritical. And there is something substantive to talk about here. Did you get the ado? Hairdo.
Ado. I do.
Did you get that?
I got that.
Yeah, let's see what I did there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, as many salons do, or what my grandmother used to call the beauty shop, you have the owner, and then the owner leases out chairs to other stylists, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might say, well, how did she get in this hair salon by herself, Nancy Pelosi? Well, because the owner of the salon is being critical, and I don't know if she's the one that released this video picture of.
That's good. Yeah, I don't know how they got the video.
But anyway, Nancy Pelosi wanted a haircut, I guess, called up there and got this lady who was a renter or a leaser of one of the chairs to do it. So there's nobody else there at the salon because it's been closed, right, for the reasons you mentioned earlier, Fred. And, of course, she doesn't have her mask on, and she's around other people, at least one other person, Nancy Pelosi, shown without her mask. Now, she does have her mask around her neck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the optics are terrible because she and the Democrats have been preaching to the country and to the Republicans, wear your mask and stay home and don't go to salons and gyms and all these things. And here she is getting her own private hair done.
Oh, well, she's been very critical of President Trump because
he's not a big mask guy.
Not at all. It may shock you that President Trump did respond to this morning. let me read the quote, all right?
Okay, tell me what President Trump had to say.
Here's his tweet.
Okay.
Crazy Nancy Pelosi is being decimated for having a beauty parlor opened when all others are closed and for not wearing a mask, despite constantly lecturing everyone else. We will almost certainly take back the house and send Nancy packing, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually pretty mild for the president.
I'm surprised he didn't say something like she can take her hairdryer with her or something of that sort. Speaking of President Trump, now USA Today, to their credit, they did do a story on Nancy Pelosi in this quote-unquote controversy here that we're talking about this morning. USA Today's headline was Nancy Pelosi got her hair done despite COVID restrictions. Okay, that kind of gives you an idea of what's going on here. But this was a story a couple of articles down on USA Today's website. Trump maskless in Kenosha despite Wisconsin guidelines. Actual quotes, people. Not making it up. It's what I do.
Here's the other problem. She's not the first Democrat to do this kind of thing.
Right.
Mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
Back several months ago.
Lightfoot.
Goes into this supposedly closed salon and right. justifies it by saying, "Hey, I'm the mayor and right. I'm holding news conferences and I have to look good."
Right. Yeah. And well, she has everybody shut down.
Everybody else shut down. In Philadelphia, not to be outdone, the Democrat mayor of Philadelphia yeah. shuts down all the restaurants there. You can't eat inside a restaurant. So he jumps in his car with, I assume, his wife, and they just drive over the state line to Maryland. And he's shown in a picture. Somebody took a picture. There he is. No mask on. No 6-foot separation in the restaurant in Maryland. And he says, well, they've done pretty well with COVID down here, so I felt kind of safe. You would think that the mayor of right. Philadelphia yeah. would want to, at the same time, order out from one of his own restaurants to keep yeah. people employed in his city. No, I'm going to Maryland so I can sit and eat inside.
Well, I knew it didn't take President Trump long to.
Oh, no.
Once he found out, saw that picture, Nancy Pelosi going to the beauty salon by herself, not wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least didn't have the mask on when the picture was taken.
No.
All right, so Speaker Pelosi's office has responded, and her spokesperson responded, but I guess she hasn't done a press conference on this yet, has she?
No.
She's got to go to the salon first.
Well, you got to finish drying her hair. all right. Anyway, there you go. The president, on a more serious mm-hmm. note, the president was in Kenosha, Wisconsin yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do there, Chris?
Well, he met with law enforcement. He met with senators, including Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He met with some of the people whose property has been damaged or destroyed by the rioters, looters, arsonists, things of that nature. He then spoke to reporters and a number of these individuals he was sitting with. Attorney General William Barr also made the trip. But President Trump says the Trump administration supports the city of Kenosha and the state of Wisconsin. Clip 2.
So I'm committed to helping Kenosha rebuild. We all are. We will provide $1 million to the Kenosha law enforcement so that you have some extra money to go out and do what you have to do. You took a rough week, to put it mildly, and you've done it incredibly well. I'm also providing nearly $4 million to support these small businesses that I talked about today that got burned down. And we're going to be providing over $42 million to support public safety statewide, including direct support for law enforcement and funding for additional prosecutors to punish criminals and resources to provide services to victims of crime. And that was Bill Barr wanted that money put in.
Now, circling back to something I mentioned a minute ago, after all those comments we just heard from President Trump about doing this and offering that,
right.
USA Today's headline was Trump maskless in Kenosha despite Wisconsin guidelines.
Yeah, typical media, just that he's, President Trump, he can't do anything right. So mm-hmm. they're going to criticize him for any little thing. Here's the bottom line with that is the governor and the mayor, both Democrats, and the mayor of Kenosha, the governor of Wisconsin, a Democrat, did not want the president to come to town.
No, he said his visit would stir up more racial tension.
Well, it didn't.
No.
And it was a quiet night in Kenosha last night. And the president is offering help and assistance to people who've been affected by the riots and to no fault of their own have mm-hmm. lost their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And the law enforcement had to do extra duty, extra detail. So he's sending them, $4 million?
$4 million for them, right?
Yeah. As I understand it, the president had to persuade the liberal governor there to call out the National Guard.
Yes.
The first night to quell the violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Yes.
It worked, evidently. And Kenosha, it's not Chicago. It's not Portland. It's not New York. It's 100,000 people or something like that.
Roughly,
so,
yes.
Everybody knows everybody type thing. So it's not known for, being a violent place that I'm aware of. So I'm happy that stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But did you see, by the way, that when this first happened, did you see all those, there was a car lot
burned.
And all the cars, it looked like 50 or 100 cars or so were were burned in that car lot. Would that have required somebody or some or a group of people to go through and light individually every car?
Yeah, these rioters have been known to carry these glasses filled with gasoline, bottles filled with gasoline. They light them and they throw them in and ignite these. And what does this auto shop owner have to do, this car sales place have to do with why the rioters say they are there? They claim to be there because of the shooting of Mr. Blake. So what does destroying cars and businesses have to do with that? That's what people are asking.
Well, logically it doesn't, except I guess you might say, well, people are saying, well, we're enraged, so we're going to show the world how we feel. I'm just throwing something out there. But it doesn't logically have anything to do one with the other. That's why people call them anarchists. Mm-hmm. Because they just seem to be committing these acts of violence and for no reason at all. It's like these looters that go into stores. You know, they're just looking for an excuse. They don't care about George Floyd.
No.
Huh?
No.
So it's just an excuse to go steal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
You know, I don't know. This one of the issues that we've had with a lot of arson and destruction, stuff like that, going back several years, is that at a number of places, Ferguson, Missouri being one example, you have a number of minority-owned businesses whose lives were lost. They lost their livelihoods in all of this. And that, I don't know if you guys remember, I don't have the audio here today, but there's that video, you can still find it on YouTube, of a black man in 92 after the Rodney King riots. Yelling at people like, listen, I worked from the ground up to get this business going. What are you doing? Why are you going after me? Mm-hmm. Things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, there are people who might agree with some of these issues people are talking about, but they're having to pick up the pieces today.
Well, when people react emotionally, we've all experienced this probably in our own lives. You're prone to do things you regret a day or two later, and I'm not saying these rioters and looters regret what they did, but what they do is something happens, like in Ferguson with Michael Brown and this police officer, Darren Wilson was his name. You remember he was exonerated
twice
by the Obama Justice Department.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole story of hands up, don't shoot never happened. Yep. It was not true. But because his friend who was with Michael Brown, who died, said it happened, hands up, don't shoot, then that's when the rioting, the looting, the violence erupted, because these people were reacting emotionally to the idea that a cop shot a young man in cold blood. That was the narrative. That was the immediate narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens over and over again. These people who react emotionally, if they're reacting emotionally at all, or if they're just going to, because they want to get in with the gang who's stealing stuff, but there's a combination of both. But they don't wait for a police investigation. They don't wait for facts to come out. Mm-hmm. They don't wait for, you know, a video to emerge that supports what the police officer said happened. They just, within hours, start, this is what happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They just see a video, and then they just start going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of wait and see, not a lot of patience at all, and not a lot of rationality to the whole thing.
Yep.
So when you have that, that's just a dangerous combination. Then you have the Me Too people who come in. Then you have, in the case of Kenosha, you have people evidently who drove in and came in from other states, a lot of people.
Of the 174 arrested, 102 came from outside the state.
Yeah. So you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Fred and Steve will be with us next hour, but Chris Woodward is with us now. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, it was an historic moment in the state of Massachusetts last night. They had a Democratic Senate primary between incumbent Senator Ed Markey and Representative Joe Kennedy, who's part of the Kennedy family there in Massachusetts. Kennedy was trying to basically defeat Markey in a primary, if you want to look at it that way. And lo and behold, Ed Markey defeated Representative Joe Kennedy, which means this. It ends the Kennedy family winning streak that goes back decades, almost a century
in
the state of Massachusetts. And you guys think, well, that's Massachusetts. I live in state X or whatever. Ed Markey is Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's best friend in the Senate when it comes to the Green New Deal, which is their grand plan to replace the way we live and operate, everything from our homes and businesses when it comes to
energy. To save the planet.
Right.
Chris.
So so AOC and others will continue to have an ally there in the Senate when it comes to their green plans. Some people might call them boondoggles.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Kennedy name in Massachusetts is legendary, right?
Wouldn't you hate to be the first Kennedy to lose, though? Because then you're kind of the redheaded stepchild. In this case, Representative Kennedy is a ginger, but you get what I'm saying.
But it also points to the power of the far left in the Democratic Party now. Because last night, I guess at his victory celebration, Markey ticked off a series of priorities for him, from support for the Black Lives Matter organization, which we have pointed out on a number of occasions, led by Marxists, self-confessed Marxists, for a movement to call for Medicare for all, to combating climate change, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the winner. He is the one.
He's Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders are,
are
ideological twins. People just don't know his name as well.
So the far, far, far left of the Democratic Party won that primary last night.
But in Massachusetts, that doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm. But that's what they want. And that's what Joe Biden is dealing with, is that a larger percentage of the Democratic Party now is the Bernie Sanders far, far left, the AOCs, all of those. And that's why many people think, despite what Biden may be saying out on the campaign trail right now, should he win the election in November, this is the kind of agenda that's going to be out there.
Yeah, well, I don't receive that, Fred.
You don't receive
that? No, I don't receive the, what you just said, should he win?
Okay.
Huh?
It ain't going to happen.
That's what some of our Christian brothers say, don't they? When they hear something they don't want to hear?
I don't
receive that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't receive that. Huh? All right. So, yeah, you're right. Bernie Sanders is tied now. Excuse me. Joe Biden is tied now to the far left of his party, and he doesn't know exactly what to do about it. Of course, he doesn't know exactly what to do about a lot right now. But anyway, we'll see how that plays out. We're going to take a break right here. We'll take a break a little early, and then Chris will be back with more news stories. Abraham Hamilton III will join us momentarily as well. I want to ask Abe, what is it about progressive, and I put that in quotations because Abe will come in here and he'll call him regress if you watch. What is it about progressive politicians that leads to more crime? Or does it? I think we're seeing that it does. An uptick in crime in progressive-led cities, right? Mm-hmm. In states.
Mm-hmm.
What's the connection there? So we'll talk to Abe about that. Among other things, we will be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
Do you understand tolerance that says all beliefs are equally true and valid? Or this thing called pluralism, that there is no one truth, all things are equally true. That's just not livable.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
You know, folks asked me about our annual tour of Israel. Tim, is it safe to travel to Israel? To which I respond, we'll only be in New York for a few short hours. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Israel is actually one of the safest places to be on earth because they take their security so seriously. So we're going to have a wonderful, safe time in Israel in March, as we see
the Holy Land. The Bible will come to life. Again, that's March 16th through the 24th. If you want the information to find out whether you want to go with us or not, just go to the website, twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, just call us at 800-FAMILIES and leave us your name and address, and we'll get that right in the mail to you. 800-FAMILIES.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Students at Appalachian State University in North Carolina received a rather disturbing assignment the other day. They were asked to agree or disagree with the following statements, and they were told there were no right or wrong answers. If a few of the worst Republican politicians were assassinated, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Conservatives are morally inferior to liberals. Political violence can be constructive when it serves the cause of social justice. I reached out to the university for an explanation of the assignment, but so far, no comment. Now, some folks might say, what's the big deal here? It was just a survey. Tell that to Congressman Steve Scalise. He was nearly killed by a left-wing activist who opened fire on Republican lawmakers on a baseball field. I'm not sure what's more disturbing, folks, that a leftist college student would be willing to assassinate a Republican lawmaker, or that a university would suggest that such an act is neither right nor wrong. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
So, Fred's here with me. This is Tim. You're welcome back to Today's Issues. Chris Woodward. So, according to some of that hand sanitizer we got out there, huh? Because I wanted to eat my popcorn, you know? And I don't know what kind of hand sanitizer this is, but I think it's 102% alcohol.
A little bit of arsenic put in there.
Well, I think when I'm eating this popcorn, I'm getting a little buzz. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going on.
It's what
here.
They run the mower on outside.
My word. Woo! All right. Abraham Hamilton III is in with us. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing well. How are you? How are you, gentlemen?
Doing great.
Doing really well.
We're doing great. Been talking about what's going on in our country and in the news. Had a question for you, a general question for you. Mm-hmm. By the way, folks, if you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. Okay, we've seen a increase, statistically, I'm not making this up, in violent crime in cities that have de-emphasized, that's to put it lightly, mm-hmm. the police. New
you
York.
You said de-emphasized?
De-emphasized yeah. Or defunded or made the cops the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Let's just put it that way. We all know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Because the actions of a few bad apples, then the left and the far left pile on against the police. And then we see a rise and uptick in crime. Mm-hmm. My question is, does progressive politics lead to more crime, or is that a false assumption?
No, it's an accurate assumption.
and why? Explain
now,
that.
Now I'll explain it. Karl Marx is not the author of socialism, but he is the author of Marxism. So the thing that Karl Marx introduced into the socialist panoply of thought is violence, is violent overthrow. We have a significant contingent of people, just whether they will admit it or not, it's really not relevant, but a significant contingent of people who adhere to Marxist theory. So violence is intrinsic to Marxist theory. So
Karl Marx, did he advocate for violence?
Karl Marx specifically advocated for the use of violence in an effort to overthrow the existing hegemony, if you will, in order to replace it with his vision of a socialist utopia. So violence is, in many of people who adhere to his philosophy and philosophies, it's intrinsic to what they're seeking to accomplish. They have to do it. Now, you do have other strands who say, oh, no, we need to do it in a nonviolent manner. So on the front end, you have some that adhere to violence as a means to accomplishing their philosophical and theoretical goals. Then on the opposite end, those who would say that, oh, well, we want to apply more of a Gramscian approach to Marxists, which is a long march through the institutions, they utilize violence and criminality to maintain their control. Mm-hmm. So no matter how you cut it, no matter how you slice it, whether you use violence in order to accomplish your goals or whether or not you use violence to maintain your power, violence is intrinsic to Marxist, socialistic, communistic philosophy, which is why.
But why the anti-police sentiment that is expressed by political progressives? What is their beef with cops, so to speak?
Are
policing?
Yeah, their beef with cops is not so much with cops directly as it is a means to an additional goal that they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to, in the words of Saul Alinsky, to have the community organizer to be seen as a champion, you must have a destabilization of the status quo. You must have a destabilization of existing social indicia of authority. So it's easier to point attention at police officers than it is per se to immediately pick another segment of society. And it also is a flashpoint that has been successful in whipping up the populace into a frenzy. So it's really more of a rinse and repeat type of phenomenon, because the police officers represent in their minds established authority where you can, as Zelensky said, isolate a target, demonize it 100%, and utilize that demonization to extrapolate the notion that the entire status quo is inherently corrupt. This is simply an extension of the overarching corruption. Right. And because you have things like the George Floyd case and others, it allows for that isolation and the demonization to be more popularly exported.
So all of the riots that we have seen over the last few months were not initiated because of George Floyd. This is the ideology has been perking for years in our universities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, that's so when George Floyd was an opening of a door to express an ideology that has, our kids have been indoctrinated with this ideology for the last 30, 40 years.
To support your point, a simple factual analysis bolsters your point. The people, Officer Derek Chauvin, and all of the other officers have been arrested and charged criminally. If the purpose of the protests were to have those who were involved in the George Floyd case arrested and charged criminally, then there would be no more need for the protests to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why you see when these protests occur, they may mention George Floyd, but they're not limiting any types of, and I'm saying protests, rioting occurs. They may mention George Floyd, but that's not all they're talking about. They throw all sorts of things into even false things like the hands up, don't shoot narrative, which was disproven, but it's irrelevant in terms of having.
And to your point, I don't think there were any police officer shootings in Portland, Oregon, correct?
There were none.
No, we're
day 100
right
into riots right there.
So there's something
don't
else.
Like anything yeah in Portland.
Okay. Just to continue our 1-2-3 march through Marxism, I want to ask you, anarchy and Marxism don't seem to have the same goals. Anarchy doesn't have much of a goal at all. It's just destruction for destruction's sake, just, well, it's anarchy, right? Just lawlessness, just Nobody has any order. Now, for the Marxists, though, like AOC, for example, politically speaking, like some of the others, Bernie Sanders. Is it fair to call him a Marxist?
I think so.
Okay.
He calls himself a democratic socialist.
But that's the same thing. Same ideology.
Yes.
The reason I want to explain this and draw this out, and I mentioned what's the connection between progressive politics and the rise in crime, is because you make the cops the bad guys, so in the eyes of the criminals, the cops are handcuffed, so to speak, and then you're able to commit more crime and get away with it. That just stands to reason. Now, back to Marxism. Is where this is going. Is what I really wanted to talk about now. You have AOC, Bernie Sanders, and their ilk, which represents, I don't know, half the Democrat Party today, would subscribe to these ideas.
Certainly the most vocal and most impassioned portion of the Democratic Party.
Maybe not half if you surveyed all of America, but this is one of the things that bothers me is I don't think most Democrats even understand what Marxism is or where they're going to go with this vote if they continue supporting these far left ideas. But so where do these Marxists like AOC, Bernie Sanders, and others, where do they want to take America? What do they want us to look like? Where would we? Is there somewhere on the global stage we can look and say? Or maybe somewhere in history where we can say, okay, these folks want to take us to this point because to them that represents utopia or that represents Marxism complete. Where do they want to go with this? Because we have a, go ahead.
There are some that would say that they're looking for a more expansive form of welfare state capitalism. Bernie Sanders often, you know, points to some of these Nordic states as examples of what he'd like to see. But when you consider the size and scope and breadth of the United States of America, it's laughable to think that America would be anything like these other nations. One, considering their population.
Are you talking about like Western Europe?
Like some would say like Sweden and like these other countries. But the reason why I'm even hesitant to say that is because those countries have come out and said, oh no, what Bernie Sanders is saying is some things that we've tried and we found have failed and we've walked back from that. So that's why I had some hesitation. Bernie would point to them as examples of where he wants to go, but even that is disingenuous and deceptive because those nations have said the things that Bernie Sanders is espousing, we have rejected. Some of them we've tried, they failed for us, and so we don't want to repeat those things. So really, I would say the examples that where we will go if we implement these types of things are like the place where Bernie Sanders honeymooned. In Soviet Russia and repeating things like in Venezuela, if you have, for example, the type of gun control measures that they have, one of the reasons why the poor Venezuelans can't get rid of Maduro and others is because they have no Second Amendment.
But here's the thing. Some of what Bernie Sanders would say and some of these Marxists would say sounds appealing on the surface to a lot of Americans.
Yeah.
For example, if you say we want to provide universal health care, no American should go without health treatment for any reason in the richest country in the land. If you say that, which is what these folks say, these Bernie Sanders, AOC types, that's what's appealing to a lot of people. People go, yeah, that's right. That makes sense to me. And I don't want to have my house taken from me because I can't pay for my cancer treatments. And that's morally wrong. That's what they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another example of what they use to appeal to people. They'll say, guns are killing people. And look at all these school shootings and gun violence on the streets and so forth. If we can just restrict guns, many of them won't come out and say, take them away, period. But I think they know that's even impractical with as many guns as there are out there across the country and our Second Amendment. But for all practical purposes, they want to confiscate guns, and they'll do everything you can to restrict your use of them and make it a crime. Anyway, you know where I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So they'll say gun control in the name of stopping gun violence, and who's for gun violence. And we do have a problem with that. So you see how this, I'm not lecturing y'all here because you know what I'm talking about, but you see how that would appeal to people who don't necessarily want to see a communist revolution.
Right.
Okay. They just see some of these ideas that, well, if you believe in man-made global warming, then why would you say we need to head toward a Green New Deal? Because we're all going to die.
Right.
The planet's going to be burned up if you believe in it. So I'm just saying our side may go, these people are nuts. What do they believe in? They're anarchists? No, they have a Marxist ideology, which they believe in, and they're trying to convince enough Americans to come over to their way of thinking, and they have been very successful over the last 10, 20 years in moving a substantial percentage of Americans towards that when you consider that they're being indoctrinated on college campuses, in the media, and in the entertainment industry.
But here's the problem. What they're being indoctrinated with in our universities is the front end of this.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. There's, it's surface level. It's soundbite.
They're not being taught ideology. The end result of the ideology. To go to your one example there on free medical care for everybody. Folks, that's been tried in London, in England. Talk to some folks there when you reach the age of 70. The chances of you getting major health care for heart problems, for other things like that, no, you're at the bottom of the priority list because you've already lived 70 years. Mm-hmm. Or if you need a knee replacement, I'm sorry, that you're going to have to wait a year or so for that. See, they're not being told.
Is that what they do in Canada?
It's the same thing. My dad, when he was alive, he went through this.
But what's the trade-off? There must be something positive, because why would Canadians keep that?
Well, they're keeping it because you've got young couples with young kids, and they can waltz into the doctor's office with little Johnny or Janie, who's got a runny nose or whatever, and they get free care. But the downside to it all, and here's the other downside to it all, with government-controlled medical care, what happens is the doctor is given a budget.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We're going to write you checks, the government says, up to this amount, Dr. Smith. And when you've reached that amount,
that's it.
Your practice is done for the year.
Right.
And so what's happening is doctors are getting out, and then patients come along and say, well, Dr. Smith is not open anymore. The office is closed. Now I got to try to find somebody else.
Yeah.
They're not telling you all of this.
Yeah. So, and a host of topics that we could talk about here where a soundbite from Bernie Sanders might sound like, man, that sounds good. Or AOC, that sounds fair. Mm. We need to tax the rich. They need to pay their fair share.
Like de Blasio said the other day, redistribution of wealth.
Redistribution. He just said it outright.
He came right out and said it.
Redistribution of wealth, which is a main point of Marxism, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the central tenet.
Okay. Listen, folks, this is, and I know most people listening to us know this, but this is why we have to explain to people when they say, yeah, the rich should pay their fair share. Okay. That, again, that sounds great in a soundbite, but you're talking about the high levels of taxation on people who, keep in mind that most of these wealthy people are there for, made their money for a reason, because they're smart and they invested and they built businesses and they employ a lot of people. And then you demonize them. That's what Marxism mm-hmm. does too, right?
Mm-hmm. Isolate, demonize.
Okay, you demonize, even though the left doesn't believe in demons, but that's another topic for another day. But they demonize rich people. That's Occupy Wall Street, I guess. That's Bernie Sanders does this all the time. Mm-hmm. So and the Democrat Party traditionally has been the party of the little man to protect you from the rich man, the wealthy man. Well,
so let me ask a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
If you're going to represent yourself and bill yourself out as the party of the poor and you're seeking to maintain power, what do you think you need in order to remain in power?
Money.
No. You need the poor.
Yes.
You need the poor to remain poor.
I got you. Yeah.
So it if you are the party of the poor, it doesn't benefit you to have less poor people. Because you would have to change.
You never arrive at your objective, though.
Yes, right, and that's what I'm saying.
Your stated objective.
That is the goal. And then by demonizing the wealthy people and saying that Your entire agenda can be financed on the backs of the wealthy is just a deceptive lie. Simple mathematics proves.
We all know this. But this is why America is different than any country in the world. Why are we the most prosperous? Why are we the wealthiest? Why do we have, despite our faults, why do we have the best medical system in the world? Why do we have the highest standard of living in the world? Why do people from all over the world want to come to the United States?
Yes.
And why do people come here from Canada and England in order to get the most extensive and detailed medical procedures available?
Because we're not Marxists. Because
my dad used to say what capitalism does, undergirded by Christian principles, and if you're not undergirded by some Christian principles, you're going to just greed. Mm-hmm. So that can be bad too. The Bible talks about that. But if you take away incentives for people to better their lives and they can't benefit from it financially, then you kill the spirit. Well, the spirit of America is built on capitalism, built on free enterprise. It's built on risk-taking. It's built on hard work being rewarded. And what these Marxists want to do is strip all that away from our country. And if you strip all that away from your country, then you're going to be living, they'll claim it's utopia, but what it turns out to be is Venezuela and Cuba. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the former Soviet Union. The former Soviet Union collapsed because this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Now, communist Red China, it only works because, it's really tight controlled at the top, and they punish people severely who don't comply with the government.
And the major engine for their operation that they've been able to sink their veins,
I know what you're going to say,
into the United States of America
is capitalism.
And sift off of American capitalism to fund the red Chinese version of communism.
Right. Yeah. But if you were to ask Bernie Sanders, do you want us to look like Venezuela? He might say, no, I don't want us to look like Venezuela. I don't know. He might. He might because he... anyway, my point is these people that are fostering the violence, the unrest, they are trying to use this to move people to become more Marxist. Mm-hmm.
And even in to your point about anarchists and Marxists not being the same, anarchists' goal is just chaos. But Marxists will use anarchists in order to accomplish their agenda and refer to them as well as those who accommodate them as the useful idiots that enable them to seize power.
What's the best book on this?
Ooh, there are several of them. I recommend anything by Thomas Sowell, for sure, in this area. Basic Economics is a really, really good one.
That's a really good one on this topic?
It's a really, really good one, yes.
Thomas Sowell, S-O-W-E-L-L, the name of the book is what?
Well, Basic Economics is one, because it addresses that. And then he wrote a book specifically about Marxism. So Sowell has a book explicitly about Marxism, the specific title escapes me, but you can find it. If you put in Thomas Sowell or Marxism, it'll pop right up. Because Thomas Sowell, a lot of people don't know this, used to be a Marxist.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
And in evaluating the philosophy that he once adhered to, came to the conclusion that he was a complete fool for embracing that type of that ideology. And it set him on the course. It was one of the earlier books he wrote. It set him on course for all of the deep economic and philosophical things he wrote later on. He expressly repudiated Marxism for a lot of reasons. We're
and one
about.
Of the other things that Marxists have to do is get rid
Chris,
of.
Chris, hang around, buddy. We'll get back to you in a little while.
I have a question whenever it's my turn.
Get rid of the influence of biblical Christianity. Mm-hmm. You've got to get rid of that, too. You've got to punish that. You've got to demonize biblical Christianity. Because, you know, you go to Black Lives Matter, their website, the nuclear family has to disappear.
Yeah. Also, the American constitutional foundational ideal of liberty and freedom, as much as you can have. That's what our country's always stood for. If you're going to advocate for top-down control from the federal government, this is what our founders was opposed to, was centralized power. Mm-hmm. These Marxists want to centralize power. Mm-hmm. What a lot of Americans don't understand is once you take the bait from the left on things like universal health care or gun control, I'm not even going to argue the constitutional issues related there, then what you're going to be, and other things, tax the rich, you know, make them pay their fair share. There is a trade-off there. You're going to give up liberty and freedom, mm-hmm. and your way of life. So they don't tell you that part very much. You know what I'm saying? Which goes, completely contrary to our country's foundational principles in our history, mm-hmm. and the reasons why we have become the envy of the world.
Yeah.
This is another way this is expressed is called American exceptionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Sowell, I know, has written on that a lot. Go ahead, Chris. You had a question
Can I give the book titles?
Please
go ahead.
Yeah.
So Basic Economics is one.
Okay.
Basic Economics, highly recommended. Next one I was thinking of, it's titled Marxism, Philosophy and Economics by Thomas Sowell. And another one that's a really great one to have is A Conflict of Visions by Thomas Sowell. Those are all phenomenal resources, will be great tools for you that will enable you.
Give those again.
Basic Economics.
That's number one on your
list.
That's
number one. The second one is Marxism, Philosophy and Economics is the title of the second one I mentioned. And the third book that I mentioned is A Conflict of Visions. A Conflict of Visions.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I think you've touched on this already, but I'm learning as much as our listeners here by listening to Abe talk about this. So I'm clear on these things. Would you say, Abe, that Marxism seeks out people in the African American or Black community based on the history and the bitterness that some people have in some circles with how things, you know, transpired for a number of centuries in this country and how they were treated after things like the Civil War?
Well, that is a more recent development in the history of Marxist thought.
Because
remember, Marxism was cultivated in an ethnically homogenous environment in Europe. Mm-hmm. There wasn't many Black folks running around mm-hmm. when Marxists started this thing. And so when you had the disappointment of early Marxists following World War I, critical theory developed after that, then Kimberly Crenshaw Williams, the law professor, applied the notions of Marxism and critical theory explicitly to America based on our history. So what Marxism seeks to do, however, in a broad sense, is to seek fault lines within populations by which they can divide the population. So no matter what those fault lines may be, you know, in London, where Marx lived at a while, mm-hmm. he may want to make a division between those coal miners and people who work in academia. Mm-hmm. So Marxism seeks out points at which you can emphasize division in order to divide the populace, to have them pit against one another.
It's mostly the rich and the poor, though. That's what Marx is.
That's where Marx began. And then subsequent Marxist theories, like Antonio Gramsci and others, sought to go through a long march throughout the institutions, finding additional places and strata through which to divide the populace.
And there's some legitimacy. Oftentimes there's an element of truth to the claims of the Marxist, and that's what they use to exploit and get people riled up. In other words, I remember hearing the stories about the coal miners back in the mm-hmm. in the days here in the U.S. and how they were being exploited by the owners of the coal. And they weren't, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, and so that would have been a legitimate issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the leftists used it to squash a word too. I don't know.
Quash and squash.
Okay.
Yeah. Another example of that is Manning Johnson in America. He's written explicitly about this. He was a Marxist and realized, man, these Marxists don't care anything about Black people, because he was using the divisions in the country in order to advance Marxism. Manning Johnson realized, oh, this is just a hustle. They don't care at all, and end up repudiating it, and even testify before Congress as how the communists were exploiting the division based on skin color in our country in order to push Marxism in our country.
All right. Abe will be having his own show this afternoon. Join Abe at 5:05 Central Time right here on this network. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.